Good. All right. We move on to the next one, which is the oil spill revision. Daniel?
LD 1494 enacts revised oil spill reporting standards. This is sponsored by Representative DeShane. Current law, 38 MRSA Section 543, prohibits the discharge of oil into or upon certain water bodies, lands adjacent to certain water bodies, public or private water supplies or sewers. A person discharging oil in violation of Section 543 will not be subject to fines or civil penalties relating to the discharge if, among other things, they report the discharge within 2 hours and promptly remove the discharge in accordance with DEP rules. That's Section 550, which this bill is amending. This bill would exempt from reporting any discharge of less than 10 gallons. In other words, a person discharging less than 10 gallons of oil would not be subject to fines or civil penalties relating to the discharge so long as they promptly removed the discharge and would not be required to report it to get that, for lack of a better word, immunity. As indicated in hearing testimonies with NRCM, similar proposals have been before the legislature in 2003, 2007, and 2011. I provided copies of each of those bills. In 2003 and 2007, the bills were pretty similar. The proposal was to exempt reporting discharges of 50 gallons or less, with additional limitations on the exemption, including a requirement that the discharging party maintain documentation regarding the discharge and cleanup. In 2011, it was simply an exemption for discharges of 5 gallons or of less than 5 gallons. There were no record-keeping requirements or other restrictions on that exemption. Testimony in support of the bill noted that this change would reduce regulatory burdens on entities and individuals with respect to reporting of small discharges of oil. It would increase DEP efficiency by eliminating unnecessary paperwork and reducing needless uses of personnel time and resources, allowing staff to focus on spills posing actual threats to the environment. The current practice of addressing smaller spills through memorandums of understanding or MOUs with the DEP is very time-consuming. Small spill records are permanent and may impact a landowner's property value due to required disclosures from listing a property for sale. Some businesses are at a disadvantage due to neighboring states with higher thresholds for reportable spills. An example was provided of New Hampshire being at 25 gallons for reporting. The proposal would not affect reporting requirements for spills of any size to water bodies or that pose a risk to groundwater supplies. And I actually had a discussion with the department about this because I was having difficulty identifying where that requirement would be. As they told me, this is a federal requirement. So the impact of the state law would not change that. Testimony in opposition to the bill noted that the reporting criteria currently in statute are not particularly onerous, and reporting is not, in fact, required for any discharge. Instead, a discharge must be reported only if the discharger wants to be immune from fines or civil penalties. The current system of entering into MOUs with companies with frequent discharges is working well. These companies, as of 2011, there was about 30 of them, log their spills and cleanup procedures and submit those logs to the DEP annually. Even small spills of less than 10 gallons can be damaging to the environment, but this proposed change would suggest that such spills need not be reported to the DEP. Without such reporting, the DEP would be unaware of and unable to ensure that such discharges are properly addressed. Under the additional information and issues section, I've noted and I've also included, I did put page numbers on this one. It's a first. Page 8 is a proposed amendment from MEMA. This is changes to Section 568, subsection 4, and on pages 9 through the end of the packet, I provided the current Section 568. Apparently, MEMA engaged in some discussions with the Attorney General's office, which suggested to them that to ensure consistency in the statutes, relating to oil spills and oil reporting, that these changes be reflected in Section 568. There was also discussion at the public hearing about what the threshold for reporting should be if it's going to be imposed. As you know, the current proposal recommends a threshold of 10 gallons and up for spills to be reportable. In other words, less than 10 gallons, not reportable. The DEP suggested that perhaps in certain situations, such as where the location a spill occurred has a secondary containment system or a SPCC plan in place, the threshold could be raised higher, such as to less than 20 gallons. Other testimony suggested that because most spills are relatively small, there was testimony that most of them are small as a cup or even less of oil that's spilled. Perhaps the threshold could be lowered to an even smaller amount than less than 10 gallons, but still result in a similar decrease in administrative burdens for all parties. So in other words, most of these smaller reports are for very small amounts of oil, not anywhere close to 10 gallons. At least that was the implication. The current proposal also does not require the discharge of a spill under the 10-gallon threshold to maintain a record of that spill, although most of the businesses that testified stated that they already maintain a record of each spill and that they would continue to do so for every spill, irrespective of the manner in which this proposal might be enacted. I also noted that the prior bills, two out of three of them, have included specific record-keeping requirements for spills under the reporting threshold. Just to run through them quickly, and those bills are also copied in the packet. Those requirements included retention of a spill record for at least 3 years, making the record available to the DEP upon request, and the record itself must include information on the date and time of the discovery of the discharge, the source and location of the discharge, the material that was discharged, the quantity of that material discharged, a description of the affected area, and the cleanup measures implemented. So the requirement was that the reporting didn't need to be done, but a record containing all that information needed to be created and maintained for 3 years. I can answer any questions that you have.
Questions? Comments? Thoughts? Ben?
I'm generally against proposals to eliminate reporting requirements, but I'm particularly disturbed by this bill because 75 to 85% of all the spills are 10 gallons or less, and that concerns me. I've heard from constituents in my district about it, and so I'm opposed, and I'd make a motion not to pass.
Can you hold the motion until we finish the discussion, or do you want?
Well, I just want to put it on the table. Okay. I want to hear from people too. So
I'm going to respond to that in a second, but I want to make sure everybody else has a chance because I've probably been more involved in this than anybody on this committee. I'll share with you some thoughts. First, let me respond to the three other bills that have been here because I've been the sponsor of all three. And the first two died because of the 50-gallon number. That's why they died. And I will tell you the back door discussions that went on was that if I reduced it to 10 gallons, the DEP would sign off on it. And I was stubborn, and I wouldn't do it. Not that I'm ever stubborn.
No.
Never have. That was the first time. The second, the reason it failed, is there was no record-keeping requirement. No. And the second reason it failed is there were no record-keeping requirements. But we were also suggested, and I too have tried to find the letter that I was given that said that as long as you follow your oil SPCC plan, you had no problem. But even talking to the mill, they can't find the letter. So I wanted to set that aside so everybody knew clearly, at least my understanding as a sponsor of those three bills, why they died. And why the DEP came in against all three bills and my conversations with them. The second thing I want to talk to you about is so you understand, and remember, I have no axe in this anymore, other than I lived with this for 20 years. So I 5 years have been retired, almost six now, and interpret this as an environmental manager. I'm sharing the story as that, is that oil spills are reportable. However, in my facility at the time, I had oil, over a million gallons stored on the site. I had chemicals of over a million gallons on the site and had two sets of requirements. One dealt with oil, and that was a federal requirement where I had to do an oil SPCC plan, which is required by Chapter 40, CFR 4112. That plan had to identify every oil potential reservoir on the site, had to identify everything we would do if there was a spill, thrill, or whatever, whether it went to containment. And let me just put the sideline. If any time, anytime it goes to water, it's reportable. It doesn't matter what you have. That does not exempt it at all. That plan had to be stamped by a professional engineer. There was no minimum. They basically just, you follow the plan, you didn't report it to the federal government, but they had that plan to come back to see whether or not if you had a spill that it was cleaned up properly. went to the waters of the state, automatic reportable. For chemicals, and I'll use sodium hydroxide as an example, we have something called a reportable quantity. The reportable quantity for sodium hydroxide is 1,000 gallons. Roughly the specific gravity is about 10, just roughly. You just make easy math. That's 100 pounds. If I spilled 90 pounds, 900 gallons of sodium hydroxide, if I had a chemical SPCC plan with the state of Maine, I do not have to report it. And that chemical SPCC plan, as I used to say, when my 16-year-old daughter was 16, she's now 32, she could write that plan. Did not have to be stamped by a professional engineer. It had to follow the guidance that needed to be done. Identify the tank, identify what response equipment was. But if you were less than the reportable quantity, 90 pounds, 1,000 gallons, 900 gallons, you did not have to report it. So that's why when I think of oil, and again, I'm thinking about it in the facility, there needs to be some kind of leeway for this reporting requirement. Because let me tell you what you do when you report it. You call the state police, of which, as you heard, sometimes they're scratching your head, like, why are you calling me? Then you have to call the local emergency response group. Then you have to call the state emergency response group. There's no requirement to call the local facility at all to tell them you had the spill. We did it because it was the right thing to do. So you have all this reporting requirements, and then you have to, within 5 days, write a letter to DEP to say what happened. Then you won't get fined. So all I think the group is asking for is if we have, and this is what I would amend this bill to be, is that you, one, you either have to have an oil SPCC plan, but which was well pointed out by Nick, is that there are MOAs that can be assigned by the department, which means you don't report a spill more than 10 gallons. So there's two things I would suggest. One, I would suggest that we amend this bill, and that's ultimately will be my particular thing, that anything that's required in the MOA, if you do that, you are exempt from the 10-gallon reporting. Why go through, if you do A, B, C, and D, whatever, they've already got that outlined, it's been worked out, everybody follows it, why go through the effort of tying DEP's time up to negotiate this deal, to figure it all out, because it's already spelled out. I mean, I will be candid with you. They kept offering that to me, too, and I refused to accept it. As we just reported it, is it put that into statute, said you do this, anything less than 10 gallons, you don't report it. You still have to document, believe, and Leslie, if you could come up in a minute, maybe describe what's in the MOU. And then the second thing I do want to do, because Nick is absolutely right, I do not want gasoline to be part of this. Gasoline not need to be part of it. Gasoline is, oil stays, gasoline goes. So I want to find a way to redefine petroleum product. So those are my thoughts that are in there. I mean, if you have an MOA, you can go into the DEP today and negotiate and not present a 10-gallon spill or less. So I share that with you because that's my frustration with this. I can spill 90 pounds or 900 gallons of sodium hydroxide, and if I have a chemical SPCC plan signed by anybody, we always had the mill manager sign it, but signed by anybody, I didn't have to report that spill. A professional engineer signs my oil SPC, Bob, SCP, anyway, you got it. So Robert and then Ben.
Thank you, Senator. My own take on this bill has been really weird from the beginning because of a different philosophy I probably have about our role. And that is, when I first got here, the first time I was a freshman, I was always focused on doing the right thing. As I've gotten older and stupider, I now focus much more on doing the thing right. And what concerned me a little bit is the department has a backlog. Why is that? And as I conjecture about it, first of all, it's about a 60-case backlog right now or something like that. 200 case backlog.
Leslie, come on up.
Yeah. So I'll tee up these questions for you. But so I say, a big backlog. Why is that? A, the usual reason is because the legislature gave them too big a job and too little resources. 90% of the time, that's probably it. There's always the possibility that there's a bureaucratic culture where backlogs just become normal. And so you got 200 cases there. So what? We had 200 cases last week. You never tried to clean them up. There's that possibility. It could be episodic. We could have just had a whole lot recently, and therefore the backlog is bigger than usual. It could be there are hurdles to efficiency, such as too much unnecessary paperwork, so that it gets difficult to prioritize which ones the department should really focus their resources on. Any of these could be a problem that we haven't ever thought about in terms of can we make this process better. So that was really my focus. I'm very sympathetic to some kind of de minimis understanding of what is just too small to be wasting everybody's time with. I'm not sure we're going to get there with this bill because it's going to be difficult to define whether 10 or 20 or nothing is right. But at the very least, I want to see why is there a 200-case backlog right now.
So the
200... Identify yourself with...
This is Leslie Anderson. I'm the Bureau Director of the DEP Bureau of Remediation and Waste Management. And our 200 spill log backlog is actually, we've been chipping away at it. It used to be over 1,000. And I think it, for the very reasons you just described, is it had been that way over time. And our division director has been very strong in trying to get that changed and moving it. And I met with him and discussed this bill in detail yesterday, and we talked about this very issue. And right now I think the 200 spill is more of a personnel issue. It doesn't exist across all response employees that we have. And we are addressing that to get it taken care of. But the ability to remove these very small spills, especially that are added to it for residential spills, and you asked me at the last meeting, too, what the proportion was, and 30% of the spills last year were residential spills for the total that came in. So if we could reduce that small number, where we heard a lot of testimony in the hearing last week about a quart, you know, a quarter of a cup, these small quantities, that would help us because it would free up the time that the employees are on the phone. It would keep us from having to have the spill log, and it would help us with reducing the amount of documentation that we have to complete.
So maybe 10 gallons is too big. Ben? You? No, I said Ben was next, and then Denise. Bob, Robert?
Well, maybe I'm not done yet.
Oh, are you done? I got pictures.
So I guess, I hear what you're saying, Tom, about the 90 gallons or more of chemicals not being reportable if there's a spill and there's a plan on file that anybody can write. But rather than use that as a reason to make 10 gallons or less not reportable, I'd rather make that reportable.
It is reportable. If you don't have a chemical SPCC plan, it is reportable. Well, but you have a plan in place.
Let's make it reportable if there is a plan in place.
Good luck. Next.
I just had and you sort of covered what I was going to say, is that there is a pretty big difference between a cup or a quart and 10 gallons.
Yeah, I had 5 gallons the last time, so that would certainly be an acceptable idea.
Right.
Bob. Go ahead. No. Go ahead. You.
Thank you.
You.
When I hear back from constituents and interested in parties on this, the question often isn't how big was the spill, but where was it? There are some spills that may be in more sensitive areas than other, and that something, a spill in a basement on a household along a wall when you're filling heating oil into a house can have some serious consequences, even if it's only 9 gallons or 8 gallons, because that really does need to be remediated properly. And as one former DEP employee who's a constituent of mine pointed out, sometimes the oil company doesn't have the ability to understand the vapors that are coming off that to make sure that it's done right. May not have the equipment to measure that. So even a small spill in a bad place could be bad. And what I'm searching for is a way to recognize when spills of a smaller nature are bad that requires a really quick DEP response.
Great. I met with our division director, and we talked about these very issues and the issues that have been raised and how it's been addressed in other states and ways that this rule could be improved. And what we came up with was maybe putting some clarification into the bill itself. And we identified 6 areas. One is that the discharge is immediately contained, that the discharge or the contamination is completely removed within 24 hours, which makes it prompt. It gives the company, if they have a small burp back time, if they're making a delivery at night, to clean it up and then have somebody go back the next day within that 24-hour time frame to make sure it's completely removed. The third was that there's no impact or potential impact to the groundwater or surface water, to clarify that so that there's no question at all. that there's no potential impact or that there's no impact or potential impact to a municipal sewer or stormwater system, which I believe is what the letter that you had from Maine Municipal was trying to get at. That the discharge is noted on a log and maintained for 3 years, and that if it's less than 2 gallons and the discharge occurs on a non-impervious surface. And so what that would do is it would allow the 10 gallons to stand if you have an SPCC plan in place or it's on an impervious surface. But if it is at a home heating oil delivery at a customer's house or it gets onto the dirt, it limits the size to a maximum of 2 gallons. And so if you don't meet that requirement, you know, that would, I think, restrict the amount that you have and address the problem that we have for these residential spills. Because if you get over 2 gallons, you run into the problems that Bob just brought up, where you really need someone with expertise there to look at it and protect the homeowner and the residents.
Is that in the MOU? What's in the – I never did the MOU.
No, the MOU is just for facilities that do have SPCC plans in place.
Okay, so they have to have a chemical SPCC, oil SPCC.
And it has to be on an impervious surface that it spills, and they have to keep a log and the same type of things. Yeah.
Other comments, questions? Ralph?
It took me a while to understand this because it was tricky. It sounded initially like it was a requirement to do a filing for everything under, you know, all spills. But I've learned from the materials we've got that there is no reporting requirement. All there is really is an incentive, a filing incentive. So I don't see it as all that onerous. And I don't believe that I'm not persuaded that the paperwork is really all that troubling.
I can only answer that as I did it. It is.
Yeah.
It's a pain. It's when you're dealing with real issues out there and you've got to write a letter about a 1 gallon oil spill, you may think that's not significant.
But the other thing is, how do you know how big the spill is once the spill has occurred? I mean, it'll be spread out all over the place. How do you know if it was 2 gallons or 10 gallons or 15 gallons? You can't put it back together again.
I can't answer the question on behalf of other people, but my question was always, when in doubt, report it out. If you weren't sure, we reported it. We reported it anyway, but that's the guidance that I would give to anybody. You do not know the amount. You need to report it. You can't assume that it's less than. You have to assume that it's greater than. And there were many times we would call up and said, we told you we had a 50-gallon spill. After we reconstructed everything, looked at the levels in the tank, it was 20 gallons or 5 gallons.
The other thing that impressed me was that oftentimes it's not strictly the amount that defines how dangerous a spill is, but it's the circumstances of the spill itself and where it goes. And so you could have a de minimis, what seems like a de minimis spill that could be more dangerous than a larger spill that was contained.
And I think that's part of what they tried to address, which Leslie just suggested to us.
Right, and to reduce it down to 2 gallons for basically a home heating oil spill or any other spill that happens on a surface where it's not concrete or asphalt or an impervious surface where it can be removed and where it impacts the dirt. Limiting that, I think, provides us some greater reassurance that we could make sure we're protecting the environment properly. And this bill also provides consistency for our responders. You know, you can call the DEP and report the spills that you've had, and there have been times in the past when you call with a court, you call one office and the guy shows up, you call another office, they tell you not to call. So this provides that clarity that's out there, and there's also been cases that I've heard of where people are given notices of violation for drips, you know, that occurred, and sometimes where they're contained and where they're not. And so this would provide that clarity and that reassurance to the industry that doesn't exist because of the way the rule is written currently.
Yes, Representative Willis.
Kind of where Ralph is, I came into this thinking that, and even though I was here in 2011, I didn't really remember the bill, and but I came into it thinking that we had to report everything, which seemed onerous to me, and so I thought that I could pretty easily support this bill. But learning more about it now, thinking more about it, it seems to me that what we have in place really actually is working very well. And yes, there, I understand some complexities in reporting, or in writing letters or whatever, but on the other hand, I think the protections are really important. And maybe we, you know, we could do more education about what's appropriate and what's not and how the bill really works, because it does sound like there's some misunderstandings about what is required and how to work with the system that we have. But I think I think I am on the side of let's keep it the way it is, because I think it is, sounds to me like it is working pretty well from what I've read and the input that I've had.
Other comments? My comment is, I think we heard from a group that it's not working. And I think you just heard from DEP, it's not being consistently applied. And now we're trying to bring some consistency to that application so that everybody knows what the same playing field are. It gives the ability for DEP to not take care of a monster of paperwork that's sitting on top of them. And because they have to maintain this log, it means that if they want to go out to Joe Blow's oil company that's delivering oil and says, I want to go see your log, and they show the log and they show up at the site and it's not cleaned up, good luck. And so I think that's what I heard. I mean, yes, I have a bias, but now I don't have that bias anymore. I'm gone. I don't need to deal with it. I don't care. I won't even tell you what my facility does now that I'm not there. But that's, so that's what I heard. I heard that there's a group that's bothered by it. You guys don't think it's a burden. The people who deal with it every day think it's a burden. And the DEP just told me they want some consistency in their application.
But it seems to me that the people who are dealing with it every day are doing all the right things, and that this wouldn't really change it that much for them.
Yeah, it would. They wouldn't have to call it in. They wouldn't have to write a letter. They would log it, and so that once you log it, then it would. And I want to take. And I think you answered that by gasoline, but I don't want gasoline to be part of this. I don't know whether that's clear in that, because I think the way you said about the bare soil. But again, I go back to, we've got a group that came in here and said this is a burden on them. And that, and I heard the DEP said they've got a potential burden on them. There is a way to fix it. Mm-hmm. And the people who have a Kemp Oil SPCC plan can go in and sign this agreement today.
Yes.
And they don't have to report a thing. What we're doing is those people who don't have 10,000 gallons stored on their site, we're giving them the ability, the small businessman, the ability to have environmental compliance and meet that and not have the burden on top of them. I think that's what I heard today.
That's correct.
Robert.
Yes, I think that's, thank you, Senator. I think that's one of the things we're struggling with, is not all spills are equal, and or even of the same caliber. When you are dealing with an SPCC plan where you have the means of dealing with a spill right away, and hopefully it's in a containment, that's a different spill. To have a one-size-fits-all blanket solution saying, report everything, make DEP go do the research and the reporting, there's a lot of wasted effort in there, because you've already covered it in the SPCC plan if they're doing things right. So there's redundancy in there that's really unnecessary and possibly time-consuming and potentially expensive, when really the threat to the environment may be from those other 30% of spills that are happening in driveways. And that's the one that I get all the concern about. When people call me or write to me about this, they're not talking about what's happening at Verso Paper. They're talking about what's happening in the driveway next door. So I want to make sure that we're putting our resources, which are limited, to where it's doing the most good, where people have the most concerns. And so that's why I'm trying to find a better process that would eliminate some of the waste and focus the energy that we have to getting the job done right in the right place.
But how do you really appropriately in statute define the many varieties of things that could happen? Mm-hmm. And to me, that's the problem. Yeah. Is if you say 10 gallons, I mean, there are going to be problems of things that should be reported that aren't being mm-hmm. reported.
Yeah.
So that's where I just don't see a solution to that.
Leslie, would you go through the things again? Because I think you've partially addressed that with the sensitivity of the areas.
Sure. That the discharge is immediately contained. That the discharge or the contamination is completely removed within 24 hours. There's no impact or potential impact to groundwater or surface water. No impact or potential impact to a municipal sewer or stormwater system. The discharge is noted on a log, which is maintained for 3 years, and less than 2 gallons of the discharge occurs on a non-impervious surface.
So let me take your neighbor. They call up and said there's been an oil spill there, and Johnny's Oil Company delivered it. One call to DEP, do they have a log? Do they have a plan? And if they show up, they're out on the site, and they haven't cleaned it up, they're in violation, and a notice of violation is delivered. You've set a bright line for it right now. Right now, I believe it's within 2 days that you have to clean up the oil spill, and it doesn't say anything about containment in there. Those are important words, the understanding the containment part. It has to be contained, which is, starts to address a lot of your sins. Remember, this doesn't have anything to do with going to water. Goes to water, it's reportable, period. No, whether you have one drop or 500 drops.
And I don't want contained on the basement floor either.
That wouldn't be considered containment. Okay. Need a motion. Ben, you want to make your motion?
Ought not to pass.
Do I have a second? Okay. All in favor ought not to pass? Okay. Those opposed? And I think our amendment will read with what Leslie suggested. Would that be a...
Bring that back. Then
we we look at it.
Yeah. What about the additional changes from MEMA to 568?
Yeah, whatever happened to be consistent throughout the regulations would be the right way. And a definition of gasoline not be included in this proposal.
Okay.
Yes, please.
And if I don't like our minority report, I'm going to oppose it on the floor, too. So okay, ultimately, I want another alternative solution to look at. And right now, it looks like a minority report.
And my expectation of all of you that voted against it is when you have your oil spill or your gas spill, when you fill up your lawnmower, you call it in. All right. We are got a couple other things to do.
For the minority report, can I get permission to share the language with the department to make
please,
sure it's all
please,
good?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Teresa, what was the vote on that?
There were four
ought not to pass. So are you okay just assuming that ought to pass as amended will be currently the majority report?
Five ought not to pass.
Five ought not to pass, and five ought... Are you good with the tie for now? Technically, the motion fails.
It doesn't fail. It just means it will bring up. It'll come up with neither report. It'll come up even with even reports. And so,
well, there's a
1, 2, 3.
More votes. Yeah.
Well, Brakey vote with us. I know that.
Who's he again?
Take a 2-second break to make sure we have the vote.
Yeah, it's 5-5.
What about Martin?
Martin would probably, I don't know where he's going to be.
Yeah, there's 11 of us.